That whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of God will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. I was working with a theme tonight called Why. And it just struck me that, there's a question that I always tell people we probably won't get answered in our lifetime. And that's usually because it's, why am I sick? Why is this person suffering? Why did this person have to die so early? And those kind of why questions. But as I was spending time throughout the week, I heard a few, I like to listen to sermons and several other things. I heard a few others say, why is God good to me? Why does God do anything good for me at all? And I thought, that kind of balanced the why question. So I like this song. I'm going to put it up here, I think. Are we ready, girl? Okay. It's by Kris Kristofferson. Enjoy or hate it. It's up to you.
Have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you? For the kindness you've shown, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. My soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. So help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know. So help.
my soul's in your hand.
Thank you, Christy. I don't know much about Kris Kristofferson. I know I like that song. And I know that he's part of the Johnny Cash and the other three guys. What do they call them? The whatever they were. But I think what I like most about the song is the balance it gives me. We want to sometimes ask, why is the world going in the direction it is? Why is my life like it is? And we talked Sunday, if you remember, about being deceived and the ability of our own sinful nature to deceive ourselves and our ability to create an image of ourselves that's not real at all. And the hypocrisy of that, which is what I want to focus on tonight. It's kind of like, why out of all the things I could do I slide sometimes most easily into the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, where I justify sin, where I excuse things, where this song just kind of takes you right to the bottom and it says, maybe I can show somebody how, you know, from where I was, you brought me back to where I needed to be. Now, I know enough about Kris Kristofferson to know that he's been not always a good guy. And drugs and all kinds of stuff, I guess. And I know that much. And beyond that, I'm not going to drag his name up or down. But I think what was going on in this particular song was it was from his heart. And it wasn't just something he was singing. It was a confession. It was a confession of, Lord, why are you good to me at all? Why did you let me make it through the day? Why did you let me have a job to go to? Why did you keep me safe on the road back and forth to work or to home or to church? Why, Lord, do you still have people in my life that actually tell me they care about me? Why, Lord, did you give me one good thing that I've experienced? The next breath. Why, Lord? And I think if we start at that point, there is this part in us and an attitude in us that begins to grow of uttering complete reverence at the mercy of God, the power of God, the willingness of God to bless us, rather than what we most often feed on, which is all the things that are wrong, all the things that are too hard for us, all the excuses and all the rationalizations and all the stuff that we can come up with. I heard a preacher tell a joke this week, and he said I went into the bar for a drink, and I was sitting next to this guy who was telling me all these jokes about and he said I was biting my lip, and he said there a certain guy walked into a bar and he sat next to somebody, and the guy kept falling out of his chair, so he picked him back up and kept sliding back out of his chair, and so he picked him up and put him in that, and finally he said, this guy can't drink anymore, we got to get him home. And so he asked the bartender if he knew where he lived, and he happened to know where he lived, so he basically helped him out of the bar and put him in his car, and he slipped out of the car, he'll lift him back up, put him in the car. He gets to the front door of his house, and he rings the bell, and while he's ringing the bell, the guy just about slips down again, and he looks at the woman who comes to the door, and she says to her, is this man your husband? And she said, yes, it is. And she looked at him and says, where's your wheelchair? And he said, the guy that told me that joke was a triple amputee. And he said, I looked at him and I said, how do you do it? And he looked back at me, he said, it's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. I still got one arm. There are people that don't have any. It's all about attitude. You know, what do I want to do? I want to blame everything on everybody. And ultimately, I blame God because he could make my life so much easier if he just would. And I go, we miss the balance. And we end up becoming a set of people that pretend we've got the joy of the Lord. I mean, we sing them, Amazing Love. We sing all the different phrases above all you were, and we just sing all these beautiful songs, and they're great songs, and yet at the same time, there's a part of me that doesn't believe what I'm saying. It doesn't live it out. It's kind of like looking at the guy who has no arm or one arm, both legs missing, and he's joking about not having appendages. And then he smiles at me and he says, it's all about attitude. It's all about whether the Spirit's in you. And so the challenge as we read this text tonight is don't slide into the hypocrisy. Don't pretend. Don't get yourself caught in the self-deception of the Pharisees. The Pharisees bought into religiosity. The Pharisees brought in the fact I was in church on Sunday, and they kind of kept tabs of that and felt that that was a pretty good sign. And they did their list of things, and they would do that through the whole process. And Jesus is looking at the Pharisees or at the disciples. He said, "Don't you guys get caught in this? This is so easy to get caught in." Well, how do you get caught in an attitude? It starts with a little bit of yeast, right? That's why he calls it don't get caught in the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees. Well, what's he talking about? The yeast that justifies your complaining. The yeast that justifies your negative attitude. The yeast that justifies whatever you want to do. And pretty soon, what is a small little idea, feeling, emotion, thought, it begins to multiply. Like a bacteria, which yeast I believe is, begins to multiply in the bread dough and pretty soon inhabits and participates with the bread dough, causing it to expand. And the little gas bubbles that the yeast give off, we now go make the bread lighter. And I'm going, the dilemma that Jesus is having, even with his disciples, his pupils, he goes, I can't let you get caught in that because it's so dangerous. And the difficulty is it starts small. Not any sin that you're involved in. Suddenly, you don't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll now do something extremely evil. I think I will now totally find no reason to live. I think I will now give up all hope. I think I will now treat my husband or a wife in a way that's improper and immoral or whatever the case is. It's always yeast. It's always that first little crack of something where we permit Satan, our flesh, to rule us, direct us. And so Jesus goes here against, be very important, be on guard against the yeast. Be on guard against the trick of what gets caught with the Pharisees because they don't get it anymore. You talk to them and they can no longer hear. They are there, but they're not there. And so he begins to go on from there and says, because you're going to have to learn something again. Remember, and he goes through this kind of eye-opening list, nothing is concealed that won't be disclosed. What are you going to tell God? Something that he doesn't know? You think they won't be found out? You think you won't have to deal with it in one form or another? You think you can play with something wicked and not get burned by it, as the proverb says? And I thought, well, you're going to have to pay a price. And so he goes, very important. And he goes on from there. It says, it will be made light. What you said in the dark, which inevitably, of course, when I can't be seen and I'm in the dark, you can't see my face. I can stick my tongue out at you. I can flip you something. I can do any number of wicked things. And the idea, of course, is you can't see me. I'm in the dark. And so here's Jesus just goes, don't be stupid. The daytime and the nighttime are the same to God. Everything is clear to God. And he's not looking for the outside stuff. He goes on from there. This way, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those. I'm sorry. The whisper will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Three examples, all good. Then he goes, I tell you, friends, and you can tell this is a very loving thing he's doing for them. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. Don't be afraid of the people that can destroy you physically. He said, they got nothing. He said, that's it. That's the ultimate threat they have for you, and after that, you go to heaven. And he says, He said, instead, I want you to be terrified with righteous fear. Don't play games with God. And he's not doing it to be mean. He's doing it because God doesn't play games that way. Right? Every once in a while, you hear about that man who just reached out and touched the tabernacle. God killed him on the spot. You go, whoa. Or you read about how one individual kept back something and buried it under the sand floor of his tent. And it was something gold and precious, and no one was supposed to keep anything. And the whole city, the whole tribe was defeated. And until that man was found out, they found him out by casting lots. They took him, his wife, and his whole family. They killed him and burned him with every possession they had. You go, why does God do that? He's trying to help us understand, don't hide things from God. And better yet, you've got to understand, if I get to that point where I no longer pretend or lie to myself that I can hide things from God, I begin to finally tell myself the truth. He's taking away the yeast and the excuse of the Pharisees that creeps into my human rationalization. I can justify any sin. I can make the proper excuse for any attitude. There's always plenty of reasons. Somebody's always cutting in front of me. Someone's always a jerk where I work. Someone always undermines. Somebody always backstabs. Something's always going on politically. Something I can find plenty. All right? And to go, the idea that Jesus is trying to communicate is this. Fear him. And finally he goes, are not five sparrows worth only 2 pennies? And he says this, you're of much more value. Don't be afraid of God. This is not about making you afraid of God. This is about making you afraid of hypocrisy. This is about making you afraid of your own lying to yourself. This is about the self-deception of yeast in your own life that destroys your marriages, your families, your children, and your grandchildren. It's about pretending you're a godly man when you're not. It's about pretending you're a godly woman and you're not. It's about pretending because you don't even know you're pretending because you haven't developed a righteous fear of God himself that keeps you from lying to yourself and getting caught in that leaven or that yeast. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. And that goes, good, good. Then he whispers at you, and if you deny me, you choose to sin, I'll deny you before the Father in heaven also. The angels of the Father are the angels of God. You begin to go. You feel the scare again, the fear, the concern. Why? Because I don't want hypocrites. And hypocrisy, remember, is not doing something wrong. It's pretending you're okay and you're right when in reality you and all those around you know you're maybe wrong. That's the hypocrisy. It's when people look at you and say, you think you're a Christian, Father? Look at the way you talk. Look at the way you act. You don't understand? What is God doing? He just grabs you and he holds you. You get honest with yourself. Why? Because I'm going to burn the yeast out of you. Because yeast kills you. Yeast turns you into something I can't bring to heaven with me. Yeast prevents me from blessing your life. Yeast makes you as useless as those children of the devil, the Pharisees. And you go, how did they get like that? A little bit at a time. And finally, he finishes it off this way. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that'll be forgiven. Don't mess with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And don't mess with somebody else's relationship with the Holy Spirit. You go, what do you mean? If you've got a son or a daughter that believes in Jesus and you belittle them, humiliate them, you talk down to your wife or your husband, that person belongs to the Holy Spirit. And you think it's okay for you to degrade them? You think that you've been invited by God to judge them? And you begin to go, is God really that serious about it? He says, don't mess with this. Don't blaspheme the working of the Holy Spirit. What did he say? You offend one of these little ones who believe in me. You would be better off having a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea than dealing with me. He's very, very consistent. And he does it so that the yeast that sneaks into my heart, walks into my rationalism, is burned out. And he finally finishes it off. He says, please remember, don't you dare be worried about what you'll say when you get dragged in front of the authorities. He said, I'll give you the very words. I'll teach you at that time what to say. And we've heard testimonies, and I always love hearing it when a person goes, boy, I didn't know what to say, but I said this and this and this and this. And I said, wow, that was really good, but I never thought it. I just said it. And I go, yeah. Welcome to how the Spirit begins to work with us and gives you things beyond your comprehension and brings into your mind the recall of the things that he wants you to say to that person. And sometimes it's just, I didn't say a word until at the very end. And then I said this. And I go, that's the nature of what God's doing. He said, I can't have hypocrites in my church. Sinners I can handle. Honesty I can handle. People that are struggling I can handle. Hypocrites who are self-deceived don't do themselves or me any good. And the people will know, and they will see, just the way you people see the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. So tonight, as I leave you with this theme, I want you to ask, Lord, why are you good to me? Why have you given me so much? Why have you done all these things for me? Why did you give me a job today? Why did you keep me safe coming home? You ever have one of those moments where you have that near miss and you just kind of go, wow, thank you, Lord. I didn't even see that guy, that girl, whatever the case might be. And you just go, why are you good to me at all? And I go, if you've got anyone that loves you, anyone that even wants to be around you, God whispers into you and says, don't let the leaven of the Pharisees destroy what God's given you in those people, friends, and acquaintances around you. I want you to pray with me if you would. Lord God, the yeast is so gradual, it's so small, it seems so insignificant. And it seems so insignificant. But it grows, Lord. I've seen it grow. It's a moment of unforgiveness, a moment of self-justification. And I whisper it to myself, and then I find myself in front of somebody else, and then a third and a fourth party asks questions, and I've now been justifying myself in front of three and four people, and I make excuses, Lord. I don't repent. And I understand that yeast destroys me, Lord. That yeast steals the Holy Spirit from my life. That yeast substitutes hypocrisy for sincerity. It substitutes self-truth with self-deception. And you've called your people not to be called and living in that kind of yeast, that kind of self-deception. We need to cry out, Lord, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Why me, Lord? What did I ever do that was worth love from you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, make those words real in our own heart. Help them come from the right words that come from our own heart. And Lord, teach us to stay away, to be afraid of the yeast that kills our relationship with you. We pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we also lift up the brothers and sisters in pain. Pray a special grace over Steve's brother and ask that you'd bring strength and ministry and grace into his life and heart. Keep him from the despair or frustration that he might feel. And Lord, in your grace, if you want to heal him, we pray that in your name. We ask and rebuke that disease in his body, Lord. And for others like Marcia, who had to go back into the hospital today, cover him with grace as they try and give him another chemo treatment and guard him very carefully from some of the side effects. And so I pray, Lord, that he'd be out again by Friday as the plan has it right now. Pray for Earl, Lord, and for Laura and some of those who just deal with the debilitating diseases that just steal from them life and movement and all the things that allow them to be who they really feel in their hearts they want to be. Lord, bring your people together. Uproot hypocrisy anywhere in us and help us to treasure the gift of each day. Each time a person forgives us for our shortcomings, each opportunity we're given to say I love you to somebody else. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to want the fullness of your Holy Spirit, that in our lives we would be filled with all that you have for us. And like I said at the beginning, I'm going to close with that same prayer. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. And God's people say, amen. We conclude. Please rise for the blessing. We'll close with our last song. I'm going to sing Abide With Me in a minute. Lord, bless your people. Speak tenderly to their hearts. Uproot any hypocrisy that sneaks into any of us, Lord. Help us deal with it with integrity. And set us free to be your people. Help us to long for the fullness of the Holy Spirit and that your will be done in all of our lives. We pray in your name. Amen. Close with our last song. special thank you to all those who helped prepare the food and clean up. Special thank you to Paul tonight. And pray God's blessing on the rest of your week. Fill you with the whys of why are you so good to me, Lord. And have a wonderful evening. God bless you all. Say hi to somebody you don't know. Thank you, Paul.